Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Kate Faulkner.
Hello, hope you're okay. Thank you for downloading today's podcast on Wednesday, the 1st of April. We've got plenty of news to get through today, including part of the M20 being closed tonight as we get ready to welcome Operation Brock back ahead of the Easter break.
Quite bluntly, Operation Brock is all that the Kent and Medway Resilience Forum have to control the flow of freight down to Eurotunnel and more likely the Port of Dover when it's expected to be busy.
We're being encouraged to count the amount of bug splatters on our car number plates.
What that tells us is, in turn, how healthy our countryside is, and helps us to understand what's going on with the natural world.
And a local rugby club will be getting a hero's welcome today after a victory in the under-18s Vars.
The day after, when we came back into school, it felt like we were real heroes within the community. And yeah, there were just people coming up to me saying, well done.
Stay listening. We've got all of that still to come. But first, let's take a look at our top story for today. A developer involved in one of Kent's biggest housing projects has gone into administration. Hodson is a lead firm behind Chilmington Green in Ashford, which is due to include more than 5,000 homes. Their collapse raises serious concerns over the future of major infrastructure tied to this scheme. Now, I've been able to catch up with Joe Habbott, who's been covering this story for Kent Online. First of all, Joe, welcome to the podcast. Can you tell me a little bit how the administration news has come about?
So the administration announcement was made yesterday afternoon by Ashford Borough Council. They confirmed administrators have been appointed to Hodson and four associated companies, which was certainly a shock. It was something, I suppose, that was potentially always on the cards, purely because Hodson lost an appeal in January to back out of more than 100 Section 106 obligations. They were actually agreed in 2017, but the company wanted to back out of them, which obviously Ashford Borough Council and Kent County Council fought them on. And following a public inquiry, a decision was made in January that Hodson had to honour those. They were, you know, obviously, I expect, miffed about that. And, you know, those obligations weren't just minor things either. They were things, you know, covering education, affordable housing, social care, community facilities. So it was always something that was potentially on the cards. But for it to happen so sort of quickly was a bit of a surprise, certainly, yeah.
And what is the Chilmington Green development?
So the Chilmington Green development is, it was approved back in 2014, but it's been mired in sort of chaos from the start, really. It was planned and still is planned to be, you know, Ashford's biggest estate. It's going to eventually feature, if it happens, 5,750 homes. Several hundred homes were meant to be built each year, but it's stagnated for so long, or rather than stagnated, the number of homes just it hasn't been that figure at all. As we sit here now, you know, 12 years after the plans were approved, about 400 homes are all that's currently built there. So there is a primary school, there is a secondary school which opened in September, but another three primary schools are actually on the cards. So yeah, very minimal in the grand scheme of things has actually happened at Chilmington Green.
What do we know so far about the impact this is going to have?
Well, this is the interesting thing. In terms of its impact, we don't really know at the minute. Hodson has been mute after we contacted them yesterday. The impact, because it's such a big estate and so many things were planned, its impact is unknown, and it could cover so many sort of different things. Obviously, the fact that it's going to be almost 6,000 homes and only about 400 have been built has left, you know, more than 5,000 homes up in the air at the minute, really. Plus the schools and all the sports clubs and facilities that were earmarked as well. One of the other things as well, which was major, was a £30 million project to dual chart road. It's one of the major roads in Ashford, connecting sort of near the town centre towards Singleton, and Chilmington Green is just behind that. That road is notoriously busy at rush hour, and that would have helped alleviate some of the traffic and things. So that was one of the things Hodson tried to back out of in January. So that appeal, actually, of the 50 million, 30 million was towards that dualling project for the road. So yeah, the impact at the minute is unknown. Things hopefully should evolve over the next, you know, few days and weeks, where Hodson will provide some more info generally, and we'll see. But it's things like deposits as well that are obviously going to be concerning people. A lot of houses are on the market. So depending on people's financial situations, it could have a huge impact.
And have you heard anything from Ashford Borough Council?
Yes, we have heard from Ashford Borough Council. As I say, they were the first people to alert us to the announcement. They've said, you know, along with Kent County Council, they are sort of seeking legal advice at this stage as to what the administration means for Hodgson's contributions and what will happen sort of moving forward in both the short and the long term. It's obviously a huge announcement and one which is just sort of filled with uncertainties at the minute. But that's where we are right now, and we'll have to see how things evolve.
Thanks so much, Joe. You can read more about this story by heading to the homepage of Kent Online.
Kent Online News.
Other news today, our reports revealed a Canterbury woman who was murdered by her estranged husband had told police just 16 days earlier that it was very likely he would seriously harm her. Catalin Miku stabbed 35-year-old Ramona Stoya at their tattoo parlour in the city in April 2022. He then took his own life. A domestic homicide review has now found a number of risks she raised were not considered seriously enough by Kent Police in the lead up to her death. The force say they've already made changes, including enhanced training for officers. A teenage boy has been flown to hospital by the air ambulance after being hit by a car near Maidstone. It happened on Sutton Road in Langley yesterday lunchtime. He's been treated for leg injuries. Three men have been arrested after armed police and a police helicopter were spotted near Sittingbourne. Wardwell Lane in Newington was blocked yesterday evening as part of a pre-planned operation targeting drug dealers. The men in their 20s remain in custody. Now, part of the M20 will be closed tonight for work to install Operation Brock. The Contraflow is used to queue lorries if there's disruption to cross-channel services and will be in place for the start of the Easter holidays. Lucy's been chatting to Toby Howe from the Kent and Medway Resilience Forum. He says we are reliant on the system to limit delays.
Quite bluntly, Operation Brock is all that the Kent and Medway Resilience Forum have to control the flow of freight down to Eurotunnel and more likely the Port of Dover when it's expected to be busy, which generally is holiday times, as we have tourists coming from across the country through Kent to get to Europe. It's going out this time based on data provided by Port of Dover, showing that Friday is going to be the busiest day for the Easter getaway. So what they've highlighted is that it's quite possible that we could see congestion around Dover. So Brock is there to act as a pressure valve, in effect, to hold freight so that that freight that's heading for the port doesn't join the queues and block Dover, block Folkestone, block Hawkinge, etc. And it's then used to sort of manage that freight flow down to the port when there's space.
I know the RAC released something earlier this week saying it could be the busiest Easter getaway in 4 years. Is that something you're expecting as well?
I think it's quite possible. I mean, what we saw last weekend, because schools across the country, some broke up last week, some are breaking up this week. We did see more than anticipated last weekend. It was manageable because it wasn't going to be the busiest weekend, but there were more than had been forecast. So it's quite possible we could see more than forecast again this weekend, which again highlights the need for Brock should that happen.
And I know the entry-exit system that the EU have put in place, that's been kind of expanded and rolled out a little bit more as well since the last kind of getaway. What sort of impact is that going to have?
So, yes, the EU entry-exit system was meant to have been fully rolled out last October, but due to some technical issues on the French side, there are still problems. So, therefore, they are not fully processing cars with the biometric system. However, each EU country needs to process 50% of passengers arriving in each country. So at Eurotunnel and Port of Dover, when people get to the French customs booths, they may well be entering a bit more information there rather than just looking at your passports to register your access to France. So it's possible if they're doing that, that could add a little extra time for each passenger, each car going through, which again is another risk that we've got this coming weekend.
And have you got any advice for drivers who might be heading down to Eurotunnel or the Port of Dover, or perhaps people just kind of who need to use the M20 and use Dover anyway, over this sort of long weekend, maybe particularly on Friday when it is going to be the busiest day? What's your advice for people?
Those that are heading to the port and the tunnel, I suggest you really take a lot of notice on what the ferry companies and the shuttle advise with regard arrival time. We don't want people arriving too early because they can add to the queues unnecessarily. And also maybe pay attention to the National Highways and KCC Highways websites to see if there are any problems on the road network, etc. We recommend also that to sort of follow the main routes, don't try and find some alternative routes that Waze or Google might try and send you, because again, that just adds to the congestion elsewhere. There could be some delays, so make sure if there are those delays, if there has been a crash or something, you've got good facilities in the car. If you've got children or old people need medicines or things to keep entertained, I suggest have those, and really just make sure you can get through and have a good time. For the residents, we are working to make sure that we mitigate any impact on Dover, Folkestone and Hythe in particular, to really enable people to carry on as business as usual, that businesses can flourish still, residents can get to place. You know, Dover Castle, we've got some great tourist venues there that still want visitors over the weekend. So really, everything is in place to try and really make sure that everyone can get to Europe okay and everyone can still enjoy Kent for the weekend.
Operation Brock is due to be lifted next Tuesday night. A man in his 90s has died in hospital more than a month after being hit by a car in Canterbury. He was knocked down while walking on Sturry Road near Kingsmead Road on the 23rd of February. A 73-year-old man was arrested and released on bail. Investigators have issued a fresh appeal for witnesses. New figures show there's been a sharp rise in the number of reports of fly tipping across the county. Between 2015 and 2025, the number jumped from almost 16,000 to more than 22,000. The Country Land and Business Association want to see tougher penalties. KCC say they'll need significantly more resources to tackle the problem.
Kent Online News.
Hundreds of people have objected to plans for a new McDonald's in Gravesend. An application's been submitted to convert the former Beefeater building on Rootham Road. Some residents have raised concerns about traffic, litter and how close it is to local schools. Others have praised the fast food chain for bringing the empty site back into use. Bosses in Ashford say an historic World War One tank in the town centre won't be going anywhere following outrage from residents over potential plans to move it. It was gifted to the town in 1919 and has sat in St George's Square ever since. It's been suggested it could now be moved to the Tank Museum in Dorset, where a restoration project could be carried out. However, council say no decision has been made and it will not be carried out without public consultation. It's claimed a nature reserve near Maidstone has been blighted by new pipes that have been installed to monitor methane levels. Walnut Tree Meadows in Tovell was previously used as a tip and council bosses have a duty to test for and remove the gas. More than 70 pipes have been set up with protective shields that look like dustbins. KCC said the upgraded system will ensure ongoing protection of the surrounding area.
Kent Online News.
An insect conservation charity is launching its annual Bug Splat survey today. The Bugs Matter survey works by getting people to count the number of insect splats on their number plates after a journey and logging it via an app. Andrew Whitehouse is from Bug Life. He's been chatting to Nicola about how it all works.
Bugs Matter is a national citizen science survey run by Bug Life and Kent Wildlife Trust, and it's all about measuring the abundance and the activity of flying insects in our countryside and in our towns and cities. And what that tells us is, in turn, how healthy our countryside is, and helps us to understand what's going on with the natural world. So it's a very, very simple survey, really easy to take part. All you need to do is to download the app, and then when you take a journey in your car, count the number of bug splats on your registration plate and send us the data using the app.
And what have the results shown you in previous years? Because, as I say, this isn't the first time it's happening. It's been done before. What sort of trends have you noticed?
So the idea for Bugs Matter comes from anecdotal evidence that there appear to be fewer flying insects around. So when people say, oh, you know, decades ago in the 80s or the 70s, when you took a drive on a warm summer's evening, you'd have a whole load of splats on your windscreen. Why have I not got so many splats now? So what we've done is we've turned that anecdote into science, and we're starting to build up a longer term data set. So we've only been doing the survey since 2021, but over the period from 2021 to last summer, 2025, we've detected an annual 19% decline in the number of bug splats, and that's across the whole of the UK. And over that period, overall, that equates to about a 59% decline over that 5-year period. So that's quite a drastic reduction in the abundance of flying insects.
And why should we be concerned about that, Andrew?
Well, I think if you've lost 60% of anything, then you should probably be worried. Losing 60% of a really important part of the natural world, really needs to set alarm bells ringing. Insects underpin so much of life, and so much they can contribute a huge amount to the health of people as well. So they maintain healthy soils. Insects pollinate our crops, especially some of the tastier things that we like to eat, like fruits and vegetables. And insects are food for so many other animals. They're food for birds, for fish, for amphibians and reptiles, for small mammals like bats. So insects really underpin a healthy environment and our own human health too.
We do hear quite a lot about work being done in Kent to create things like green corridors. And I've spoken to your colleagues in the past. We're all encouraged to try and have, say, pollinator-friendly plants in our gardens. Do you hope that we're starting to make a bit of an impact and can reverse that trend?
Think so, yeah. These are quite negative results, and definitely something to be worried about. But there is hope. We do have solutions. We do know how to solve this problem. The first thing is getting better at sharing our planet or sharing Kent with wildlife, leaving more space for wildlife to thrive. The other thing is we can do is to make sure that the countryside is less inhospitable to insects. And that's things like reducing the amount of pesticides which are used. So all of these different kinds of initiatives can help to restore the insect life, and therefore, other wildlife as well. And we can have a much healthier and productive countryside if we make these decisions.
The survey launched today and will be running until the end of September. A new nature retreat is going to be built in Woodland near Deal. Permission's been given for 96 cabins on the historic North Bourne estate. There are also plans to boost biodiversity by planting more hedgerows and restoring native species with new orchards, wildflower meadows and ponds. Work is due to start this summer. A Kent glamping business is appearing on Four in a Bed this week after more than a decade of being asked to go on the show. Kit's Cottie in Aylesford features alongside hotels and B&Bs in Maidstone, Margate and Birchington. The owners say they had a great time. It's on Channel 4.
Kent Online Sports.
Football Now and Maidstone United have recorded a pre-tax loss of £167,000. Figures from the year to last June show a rise in costs for players and stewarding, as well as repairs and maintenance expenses. It follows record profits in the previous financial year following their history-making run to the FA Cup fifth round. To tennis, and Kent's Emma Raducanu has with withdrawn from next week's Lynn's Open. The British number one from Orpington is continuing to recover from a viral illness she picked up in Romania in early February. She hasn't played since a heavy defeat to Amanda Anisimova at Indian Wells early last month, but could return in Madrid in around 3 weeks. And in rugby, Maidstone Grammar School's victorious rugby team are being welcomed to a civic reception by the town's mayor today. It's after they won the school's under-18 Vars final at Twickenham last month. The game finished 22-21 after a dramatic penalty in the final seconds of the game. Nicola's been speaking to two of the team members.
My name's Edward Holroyd and I'm year 13. Round about now, we've come back to ground level. We're all level-headed again now, but especially the day after when we came back into school, it felt like we were real heroes within the community. And yeah, there were just people coming up to me saying, well done. Quite a few of us brought our medals in, so people wanted to see that. And yeah, it was just quite a surreal day, even after we won.
And to win in such spectacular fashion as well. How the number 10 kept his cool for that penalty, I do not know. How nervous were all of you watching that kick?
Yeah, I mean, well, I was behind Ewan, our 10, when he was taking it, and my heart really was in my mouth. But in all honesty, I just knew he was going to get it. I mean, Most of the people don't watch him throughout the season, but he's nailing kicks week in, week out, whilst playing, whilst training. I really wasn't worried, and I thought as soon as we get a penalty within their 22, we were going to win it. And although like the nerves are there when he's taken up to kick it, as soon as he kicked it, I just saw it going through the posts, and everyone just started going mental, to be honest.
So I'm Fintan Aravind and I'm in year 12. You can't really describe it, to be honest. Even now, I mean, 2 weeks afterwards, it's a surreal feeling. And just like walking into the reception of the school and seeing the trophy, it's amazing. We've got the game going on in the screen behind it, and it's always good to just look up and go, wow, we actually did
I was going to say, how many times have you watched it back? Have you watched the whole thing
it.
in full?
About 5 minutes ago, I was sitting in reception watching it, and yeah, I haven't watched the full game through yet. I'm still riding on the excitement of the actual game, but yeah, it's amazing.
What do you think it's going to do for rugby, not just within your school, but other schools watching? Do you think there, I mean, it's a very popular sport anyway, but do you think there's going to be more youngsters saying, do you know what? I'd like to have a go at that. I want to have a go at trying to get to Twickenham.
Yeah, completely. I mean, the confidence it's inspired in the school is amazing, and people in my form and people I've never spoken to before coming up and saying, wow. And in the assemblies when Mr. Tompkins spoke about our success, it's amazing to see all these younger years being inspired by it. And hopefully that all other schools in Kent, I know friends from other schools and that live in London that have been watching. And yes, it's amazing to inspire other people, really.
The squad are coached by Dominic Saunders.
The challenge is now we've run the bars, we'll go into the cup next year, which will pit us against the very best. But it's what it does for the community, and what it does for the sport. It's interesting. I've been walking around before school the last few days, and there's a few more rugby balls being thrown about. The younger guys are asking, oh, well, will we get this opportunity? And that's, like I've said throughout, what senior school sport's all about is, can you get these boys proud of what they're representing and inspiring the community around them? And this group have certainly done that. Have certainly done that. And like Ed alluded to, they came in the next day and the younger generation were asking them, and they are year seven, year eight heroes just for the time being. They'll look up to those. So we need the boys exhibiting those behaviours. And it's certainly captured a lot of hearts and minds of the younger pupils. So we've got a great base to build from here. And it's an exciting time for sport across the whole school, not just rugby, football, cricket, athletics, basketball, at Maidstone Grammar School. So yeah, we're very proud of what we're achieving so far, but there's a lot more to do.
And how important is sport within the school? Because we talk about sport and exercise and how good it is for mental health and getting out and about, getting fresh air. How important is that side of the curriculum as far as your school is concerned?
Well, yeah, if you ask me, it's the most important thing in my role. But the school speaks about two things: inspiring to learn, and inspiring to belong. And I think that, look, there's a wealth of opportunities to increase your belonging to a community like MGS. But I think sport is right at the forefront of that. Year sevens come in, you're suddenly in a school of 220. It's a pretty tough environment if you don't know a lot of people, but they come into their clubs, they meet new people, they get their friendship groups, they wear the MGS shirt at fixtures, and there is a real sense of pride and belonging with the sporting values we've got here. So I think sport is a massive, massive vehicle, yes, for mental health, but making you feel a part of the community and proud of what you represent. And so yeah, it plays a big role within a small aspect of school life.
That's all from us today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on socials. You can also get the details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And while you're on the website, you can sign up to Kent Online Premium. It gives you access to content with fewer ads, no pop-ups, and exclusive stories. You can choose a subscription plan that works best for you. For more details, head to kentonline.co.uk/subscribe.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.